week we talked about fasting. If you were not here, how many of you, it's your first time to Girlfriends in here? I just want to see. Oh, well, welcome, welcome. Well, last week we started Isaiah 58, and we really got into fasting, so you might want to go back and get that message. We are corporately fasting as a church, and so we just kind of taught some things about why do we fast, and what are the benefits of fasting, and what does different types of fast look like. And then we're going down into Isaiah 58, and we're going to keep moving on. This church was founded on Isaiah 58, if you guys do not know that. And I believe that God has something for the girls, and I thought this would be a wonderful place for us to begin our journey of kicking our lives up a notch for him. Listen, you are in the eyes of your family being watched. Everything you say, every action that you take, whatever it is you react to, your children, your husbands, your sisters, your brothers, whoever is in your world is watching what you are doing. And that's a little pressure. No pressure, Pastor Jess, no pressure. Listen, it is a lot of pressure. We cannot take that lightly. We can't let our guard down. We can't let the enemy in to defeat us, to discourage us, to derail us, because I believe that he works so hard to derail us so that he can then just knock us off. And I believe that God is saying, nah, girls, come on, get back on track, and we're going to stay on this path, and we're going to stay consistent in the Word of God, and we're going to go down a path that I need you to go down. And so turn with me to Isaiah 58. We're going to go into just two verses in Isaiah today, okay? Isaiah 58, 9 through 10. We're kind of doing line upon line, precept upon precept. I don't know about you, but I have been raised that way. We are still in Hebrews, and it has been 5 years on Sunday mornings. So I just believe God does teach his word line upon line, and so we're going to go through Isaiah that way, okay? So line upon line, Isaiah 58, 9 and 10. It says, "Then you shall call on the Lord, and he will answer." Ooh, that's a good word right there. That'll shout. "Then you shall cry." Oh, I do that a lot because I'm a girl. "And he will say, here I am." Now this is where I want to go. If you take away the yoke from your midst. Let's stop there for a second. Number one, that's a condition. It's if you do it. Sometimes you don't want to remove things from your world that are there that maybe you don't notice are there. Maybe it's just, that's my personality. That's how my family is. That's what, well, if it's not of God, it needs to be removed. And it's a yoke. Do you guys have that picture of the yoke up there? I had asked them to give me a picture of a yoke. Okay, you see that? I'm going to put this on right here. And that is a yoke. Two oxen, two big, like, cow-like, I should have had oxen in there. Two oxen go in that. And they put a weaker oxen on one side, and then they put the stronger oxen on the other side. And when they do that, the stronger oxen takes over and teaches the younger oxen how to manage this yoke. Now, I believe that God is saying to us, strip that yoke off, the yoke of oppression. And if you do it, then there will be results. We'll get into the results of that yoke. Now, am I wearing a coat that looks good on me? You liars. This is my husband's coat, okay? This does not look good on me, all right? So am I wearing something that is good for me? That benefits my figure? Am I wearing something that is flattering to me? Am I wearing something that you would go, oh, she is so good looking. She knows how to pick her clothes. No. No. Okay, and if you think so, we will have a fashion course later on. Okay. Now, listen. It's saying that if you strip the yoke, if you remove the yoke of oppression, oppression is a weight. It bears down on you. I have these weights. You go, is this what you work out with? Yes, this is pretty sad. I need to get heavier weights, okay? It's like 3 pounds. If you walk around with these weights and wearing something that's unfitting to you, something that weighs you down, something that doesn't flatter your personality, something that doesn't fit you the way God created you to be, then you are going to walk around looking like you're broke down, busted, and disgusted, and you're living with oppression. And this is a yoke that is dragging you around. And you are never going to become the woman God has asked you to be, because that yoke is driving you to be this weighed down, oversized, unfitted woman. Now, God is saying, if you strip that yoke, if you take off that yoke of oppression and you put on something that's flattering and trendy and cute and looks good. Do you think this is cute? This is so cute, huh? Okay. and you put on something that's lightweight, right? I can move around in this. I could dance in this. I could pick up kids in this. I could throw them over my shoulder. I could spank their butt. I could do a lot of things in this coat, right? Now, listen. If I had that on, was I able to move around as much as I could have? Sorry. Forgive me. In Jesus' name. I go into coughing fits for like 10 minutes. So. In Jesus' name. All right. Can I get a cough drop? I'm not crying. My eyes are just watering. I love my prayer warriors up here praying in tongues. All right, devil, you're a liar. Go away. All right. So we're going to walk around. We're stripping the yoke. We're taking off that I want to call it sin nature. I want to call it something that can be removed, which is kind of cool. Because we walk around with these yokes. And we're wearing them. And they weigh us down. And we begin to fit into them. And we begin to see ourselves as what we see in the mirror, right? So we're wearing this heavy, weighed down, nasty coat that doesn't look like who we were ever created to be. And God says, stop. Put on something fitting. Because you're a woman of God. Put on something flattering. Well, how do I do that, God? Well, let's go into Isaiah 9. He goes right into, if you take away the yoke from your midst. He goes right into how to do it. You guys ready? The pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Ugh. I know us girls. Listen, the old nature woman can be catty and gossipy. The old nature woman can stab you in the back while hugging you in the front. The old nature woman can be ungodly. She can be unruly. She can be a fighter, a temptress, an adulteress. She can do all of these things. And God says, you need to strip off those things. Because if you do this, now remember, it's a condition. You can choose to keep on that old yoke. You can choose to walk around with the sin that weighs you down, or you can take it off and you can move on into your destiny, all right? So, speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and you satisfy the afflicted soul, I love that. First, stop doing this, now do something for someone else. Remember how we talked last week about fasting, how it is praying and giving. Remember that? And fasting? They all go together. He's right here saying, change and then give to someone else. See, you cannot give to someone else without loving them. You can't. You cannot be generous without loving. You can't. It's just not how it works. And so God is saying, do that. And if you do that, your darkness shall be as noonday. That's why I wore this shirt, Shine the Light. Listen, girls, you are the light that shines in the darkness of whatever it is the enemy has planned and assigned for your families. You are in the forefront. You are the front line, ladies. You are the front line. Your husbands won't make it without you. Your children will not make it without you. Your lives depend on your walk with God. God, that's so deep. Like, really seriously, Pastor Jess? Like, yeah. Because your prayers are bigger and more powerful than you ever give them credit for. Because your faith can move a mountain. And you might go, oh, I don't know about that. Well, listen, I do know about that. Because when you begin to speak the will of God over your life, when you start to begin to pray those things in, faith begins to build up inside of you. And you go, it's just how it is. I have a little kid. I have three of them. But my littlest man, I wasn't feeling good. And he lays hands on me and he prays over me and he said, all right, it's all done, Mom. You're fine. Stop coughing. I'm like, I'm trying, you know. But I just thought to myself, faith like a child. That's what God is talking about. No borders, no boundaries like we sing about. Trust is not an issue. The nastiness of this world has not gotten into his little heart and you know, mucked it all up. It is not clear as mud. We are clear as mud. And so we have to wade through that. But our little children, they're not. They haven't been tainted yet. And so when they think about the Word of God and they think about what God has, nothing is impossible for them. Nothing is too big for them. If you say God can heal me, then he can heal me. If you say God can take care of my job that I don't have that I need, then God's going to get me a job that I need. You see what I'm saying? God is saying that if you strip off that old, nasty way of doing life, and you stop speaking wickedness, you stop judging other people and pointing fingers, and you begin to give to those that need you outside of your box, then you are going to shine a light in your world, in your children's world, in your life, and in the lives of the people around you. And if we were all doing this, what would San Bernardino look like, girls? What would it look like? What would the surrounding cities that you live in look like if we actually took this on? And we're very serious about how we were acting and what we were saying. So let's get into it. We are bound by many things, and we do life with them every day. I call them familiar spirits. Do you guys know what a familiar spirit is? Some do, some don't. Well, for those that don't, I'm going to talk about them. A familiar spirit, Brother Hagin, who is a man of faith and a godly man, he knows the spiritual world like nobody else's business. And he said they're the hardest ones to get rid of because nobody wants to get rid of them. Because it's something that you live with and it becomes a part of your personality. And then when you're confronted on the matter, you kind of share, like, no, wait, no, I'm good. Like, this is who I am. And you've so identified with it that you're not willing to shed it. And that's where I believe God is talking about. I think he's asking us to kick our lives up a notch and to shed those familiar spirits. Maybe it's an anger problem. Maybe it's a problem where you talk just too much. You're gossipy. You know how to shut your mouth. Maybe it is that you are critical and you're mean. And then you come in church and you're all happy because you're in the presence of God. And then you walk out and you're like, oh my gosh. Have you ever been around people like that? Where you're like, oh, I really don't want to go to lunch with them because they're just going to complain the whole time. Listen, God is asking us to change. And you go, oh man, I just want to go to a church that makes me feel good. Well, this is not the church. Because our church is going to challenge us to work at being the best godly women we've been called to be. I don't believe God tells us to sit our cute little butts in a seat and keep them warm. You girls come here to get filled up, to go out, to fill up your homes. Got it? And then what you do is going to affect the home next door and the other home and the next door and the next door. And you guys are going to be the one that lights that fire for Jesus Christ. But we have to take care of ourselves and fix some things. In Isaiah 5, 9 through 10, we're going to go to the first part of it. And it says, the pointing of the finger. We're going to stop there. Point number one, watch your mouth. And speaking wickedness. That's where we're going. Watch your mouth. You're like, oh, man, why do they got to talk about this stuff at girlfriends, you know? Because I really like calling my friend. We like talking about what's going on in so-and-so's life and so-and-so's heart. And ooh, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm getting into everybody's business. Listen, God's saying stay out of their business. Stay out of it. It's not your place. You don't know the heart of whoever it is. And who are you to speak about them or their lives? You see, gossip is like a tasty morsel. You get a piece of it and you're like, ooh, I want another piece and another piece and another piece. And in Proverbs, it talks about it being a tasty morsel. Girls, we need to zip it and start praying and not calling, oh, so-and-so, can you please pray for so-and-so? Because then that's the gossip prayer chain. I hate that. We're not going to call each other to pray to gossip about so-and-so's life. Okay? This has kind of been my rule. If you have given me permission to say something, then I will. But if you don't, then I'm zipping it. And listen, because I used to have a big mouth, I'd be like all excited about things, say everything all the time. In fact, I kept your secret for a really long time. So now can I tell everybody you're pregnant? Woo! Okay, so I have learned to zip it. I have learned to keep it. But listen, that took years. And while I was on the journey of doing that, I got attacked like nobody's business by family members because they know you best, right? Family member, oh, don't tell Jess anything unless you want the whole world to know. And it was like, I actually have been really good lately. You know, I've really purposely been trying not to do this. So I'm warning you now, you will get attacked if you begin working on some things. Okay, by the people that love you the most because they know you. But if you go to them and tell them that you are working on it, then if they love you, they will repent and say sorry and they will help you walk through that journey, okay? So I just remember I was like so devastated. And of course it's my dad, oh, don't tell Jess, you know. And he is one to talk, seriously. And so I'm just like, Dad, that hurt my heart. I'm really working on it. He's like, oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry, babe. You know, I won't say it anymore. And then over the years, I got better and better and better. And then there were times that they were like, wait, this happened and you didn't say anything? You didn't even. And I'm like, nope. Sorry, it wasn't my business to tell, you know. And it was like God showed that I was able to control that. Listen, you can change whatever you want to change. But it's going to take time. So don't beat yourself up over these things. God is asking us to zip it. What are we speaking about our lives? Are we complaining a lot? You're like, no, not me. Never. Gossip. Are you gossiping about other people? Are you speaking death over a situation? Come on, guys. Are you speaking defeat and worry and fear? Because that is not faith. You are wrong for doing that. So whatever's happening in your worlds is important to God. And you need to begin to change the words of your mouth. My mom told me to use her as an example. I was going over this with her yesterday. She said, tell the girls I am fasting. And I said, okay, what do you want me to tell them? Like, what are we talking about, Mom? Well, I'm fasting, complaining, and being criticizing, and what was it? Being criticizing and complaining. I think those were the two things. And she goes, man, has it been interesting? I did not realize how in this transition, I can just start humbugging about everything. Nothing is good. And why would you do that? And why are you doing that? And I'm the one that always gets that. So I'm kind of like, well, that's a great fast, Mom. Such a good fast. I love it. And my dad's like, And every time I've called her this week, she's been happy. She's had the joy of the Lord. She's really been pinning it down and going, I'm not going to let the enemy steal my joy in this season. I'm not going to let these thoughts come and consume me, but I'm going to choose joy. And she's turning that around. Listen, maybe you need to fast complaining. Maybe you need to fast criticizing. Maybe you need to fast being critical of others. There's been a situation that has happened, and this person has left, and now hell has broken loose in their life. And as a pastor, this is what we warn you of. Stay under the covering. Be planted in a house. There's a protection in the house of God. And there's been times that I have sat in my prayer time and I'm like, God, what? What is this about? And he said, just make sure you don't judge. Just don't judge, daughter. Do not go there. And I haven't. Because you know what? He loves them. He's a merciful God. There's nothing too big for him. He doesn't care if they've strayed. He's got their back. Yes. Listen, he loves them. Yes. So we need to caution ourselves to not speak judgment on people because God has everything in place and he knows what is next for them in their world. You know, we can be really good Christians, but we can really criticize the junk out of other people. She's dating that boy and he ain't a Christian. What's she thinking? Oh, my granddaughter, I don't know what she's all up in. She went clubbing and then she came to church on Sunday. What is she thinking? Guess what? Pastor Jess used to do that too. Until my dad caught me in the kitchen and said, you ever want to go clubbing again? I'm going to knock you out. I was like, dang it, who saw me at the club? God has a plan. God knows what's supposed to happen. So don't get in the way with your judgment. Don't criticize the world. If you criticize the junk out of everything, people are going to go like, ugh, I want nothing to do with you because you're just like, I feel like I have to peel things off after being with you. You don't want to be that person because then you're not effective for the kingdom. You're no longer his mouthpiece, but you are a mouthpiece. Okay? So let's not be mouthpieces for the world, but let's be a mouthpiece for God. Change what's being spoken in our lives. Speak life over a situation that looks like death. Speak life. All right? Speak victory over something that looks defeated. Speak victory. That's a faith step. And speak faith and not fear over your situation. In Proverbs 8, 6 through 8, it says, "Listen, for I will speak excellent things." I love this verse. "And my lips will utter what is right." Amen. Thank you, Jesus. "For my mouth speaks truth, and my lips hate wickedness. All my words of my mouth are righteous," and righteous means right standing before God. "There is nothing in them twisted or crooked." I don't know about you, but I want to do that. I want to get through my day and lay my head on my pillow and know that what has come out of my mouth has been a blessing to the ears of God and not, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry. Why did I say that? Why was I so harsh in that way?" Believe me, I come from a family of Cobras that are like a string of harshness. You've seen my dad on fire, and it just comes in our family. I believe that it is generational. Now, we've broken that. But, you know, if you know anything about our family, my grandfather, Rudolf Nucci, came from Italy. And he escaped Italy with his mother because she was shot 16 times and lived by my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather shot her 16 times. She lived and came on a boat and fled here to America. When she got here, it was her and my grandfather, Rudolph, we call him Baba, and he loved his mother, but the only way to survive back then was to find a husband because they would take care of you. So she married a man, and he said, "I want nothing to do with your son," and kicked my grandfather out at the age of 12. My grandfather went to live in a forest, you know, the Redwood Forest up in Northern California? He lived in the forest, and he began to work the forest for the Forest Service, and he raised himself in the forest. And he then, at the age of 16, just had this willpower inside of him, like, "I will not be like my father, and I will not be like what I've been raised like." And he lied, and he said that he was 18, and he joined the military. I guess back then they didn't, you know, check papers or whatever. And so they shipped him over to Hawaii to Scroful Barracks. And there he became in the military. He was in the military, but he also became a lightweight boxing champion. And so then he came over and he met my Nana Ellen, and she came from Norway, and they fell in love. They got married. And let me tell you, my grandfather was the best dad in the world. And he was the best grandfather in the world. And I believe that he broke the curse of what the family had before us. And we still at times, we can like get really mad really fast, but we can catch ourselves and go, "You know what? That's not a God, and I rebuke that. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to calm myself down." And I'm having to teach my sons that, because my son, Mike, will just go off. And I'm like, the other day I heard him, he's like, "I just need to be alone." And everybody's like, "Why do you want to be alone?" Like, bugging him. I'm like, "Leave him alone." You know, like, whoa. He needs to have his spot. He needs to have his space with God. Listen, whatever's in our personalities, we can deal with it. And if you'd let the people around you know that I need a moment to work through some of these things that I believe have been there for generations, then I can be a better person. So just give me a second. I'm telling you, your family's going to be like, awesome, because they see it in you too. They just don't want to tell you. They're scared. Okay? It's kind of a cool story, huh, about our family? And our last name is really Nucci, because when he became a lightweight boxing champion, he changed his last name to Cobra. And then when he met my grandmother, she said, "Oh no, I am not going to have Cobra as my last name," and put an E on the end of it. And we became Cobra. So really, it's Jessica Nucci. So, and I know my mother-in-law is going, "No, Roth," but deep down, I'm a Nucci. So that is kind of cool. But you know what? See, that's anger. That's malice. That's like murderous spirits. All those things. Those things were broken and cut off. Girls, break it off. Cut it off. Don't allow it to continue in your world, because your family's lives depend on it. Number two, Don't be the judge. Don't be the one with the gavel. That's how it's gonna be, and da 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 da. And you know, you could just be God himself if people would just let you. Well, listen, you are not God. Shut up. All right? Yeah, that's mean. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's the cobra that came out. Okay. Isaiah 58:9. In the Amplified, it says, don't be the finger pointer. Don't scorn towards the oppressed or the ungodly. Listen, you walk into a room, and you're supposed to be the Christian, and you walk into a room full of sinners, and then you start judging them, you are doing no good. You are doing no good. They already expect you to judge them. They already expect you to point out all their flaws. They already expect you to say what it is that they shouldn't be doing because they know that they shouldn't be doing it. And listen, you don't need to tell them that they know that, okay? You are not Jesus himself. What you need to do is walk into a room full of unsaved people and be like, hey, how are you? How's your day going? And just begin to be the light in the darkness. Get off of your judgmental seat and let's step down and get into people's worlds and show them some love. Let's work hard at not pointing fingers. And sometimes this will be hard because you see sin rampantly happening around us. I'm not kidding you. I turn on the news and I get so angry and I'm like, ah! I turn on TV and I'm like, that is not true. You know, like I can't watch anything with my children anymore. I have to guard and guide them through everything. And listen, that it's kind of been, at first it put fear in my heart, you know, like, oh gosh, what am I going to say to my kids? It's been so great because if they hear something, I can pause the TV. Don't you love pause? I like love it. Never had that when I was a kid. It was like Pastor Dan talked about this week, and we turned the knob, you know, got up every time. We had 13 channels. That was good. But we can pause it now, and I'll sit down with the kids, and I'll be like, okay, now listen. You just heard this. Let's talk about it. What do you think that is? What do you think? Why would they say that? And I get the kids kind of figuring out, like, what it is that they just heard. And then I can explain to them, you live in a world that is ungodly, that seeks the enemy, that seeks that sin is good. And we have these candid conversations, and it's been great. So don't be afraid. Just be bold and ready to go when that time comes. Okay, girls? Let's not criticize each other or critique each other. You know, it's so funny. Well, the way she does it is good, but I would do it this way. See, what is that? I think that's woman's pride. You know, men are very prideful. We can, oh yeah, men are full of pride. Yep, men are. Listen, so are you and me. We as women, we're very prideful. It just comes out in a different way. We're Mrs. Know-it-alls. Have you heard that? Oh, you're just a Mrs. Know-it-all. Listen, do not be self-righteous. Do not be Miss Know-it-alls. Do not be criticizing. Do not go and try and push your ways and your beliefs on your family members even. They need to be who they need to be. They need to. My mom is so good at that. She has said to me so many times, Jess, don't do it the way I do it. Because if you do it the way I do it, you're going to be discouraged. Because you're not me. You need to do it how you would do it. And you need to say it how you would say it. And listen, that has been so wonderful. Because if I had to step into her place and try and be her, that would not happen, right? I wouldn't do good. Because I'm not Deborah Cobra. Right? When I had my children, I'm sure my mom wanted to say, why are you doing that? Especially the first baby. I mean, the first baby was like, don't touch the tables at the when we go out to the fast food restaurants. Oh, let me get, they have these little placemats that you like put in front of the baby and you wipe them down with all the clean rags. I know my mother-in-law is Sue in here. Sue, are you here? Is she in the back? Yeah. I know she was laughing at me because I was like Purelling everything and wiping it all down and they would just kind of be like, you know, like, oh God. Now the third one, I'm like, whatever, if it's dirty, we'll pray over it. You know? I mean, seriously. She let me work through that. She let me get through that. She let me learn what worked for me. Now, when she saw that I was letting something go with a child's personality and that it was going to come back to bite me, then she would sit me down nicely. And she wouldn't judge me for that, but she would say, listen, I noticed that Micah's doing this and you guys are getting used to the way that personality is, But you don't need to get used to that, because that's going to come back and hurt him later in his life. And you need to deal with it now so that when he's older, he'll be a man of God. Oh, okay. And she's like, you're letting him control you. And I remember her talking to me about it, and it was like, yeah, okay. And she's like, so just be on it, Jess. All right, cool, Mom. Man, Mike got lots of spankings after that, and he's a great child now, but it took a lot, okay? It took me a long time, many embarrassing moments in public. But he's a wonderful, wonderful man of God already. I mean, this is the kind of child he is. He told me yesterday that he's saving his money up for his wife so he can buy her a house. I'm like, what the heck? Dan, did you save up money to buy us a house? Like, he goes, no, but I wish I would have thought about that when I was a kid. I mean, he's just an amazing kid. And I believe that God puts things in our children that we have to birth. We can criticize them, and we can discourage them, or we can build them up, and we can be their cheerleader, and we can move them into the right path with God without tearing down, criticizing, and defeating the plan. All right? So let's be careful with the words of our mouth. Your husband, man, he's a rough one. He gets to you. He gets under your skin. Oh, that guy. I'm seeing girls go, oh, my God, you don't even know. Listen, prayer is humongous. Hate is very strong. Malice is loud and evil. You can choose to love and pray, or you can choose to hate and get malice, be angry, get him back, point the finger, judge, criticize, nitpick. Why do you think men call us naggy? That's why they're calling us naggy, because we're criticizing everything. We're critiquing everything they do. Listen, I have heard this saying with my kids, and I love it. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. I say, what does that mean? Listen, maybe your husband isn't your girlfriend's husband, who does amazing romantic things and da-da-da-da-da. But your husband loves you in his own way. And your husband knows exactly how to get to your heart in that moment when you're hurting. Listen, enjoy that about him. And don't criticize him for not being what he isn't. But love him for what he is. Love him for what he is. You know, I married a man that I've had to train. Now, you can train your husbands. No, I don't beat him up. I love him. But he will tell you this too. Mother's Day came and went, and it was like, honey, you know, like, the kids didn't do anything for me because they're nursing, you know. Oh, was I supposed to do something? Yeah, that would have been nice, you know. My birthday came and went. Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday, that's it? Like, that's all I get, you know? Like, oh, do you want more? After 13 years, birthdays are a big deal, okay? He married like Mrs. Queen of Birthdays, so you better get on board, buddy, because that ain't changing. And Mother's Day, it's always on a Sunday. So guess what? If something happens on a Sunday, we pastors, we don't celebrate it till the next day or the day after. But let me tell you, he now has so honored my position as a mother that my children now have taken over, and they've learned that from their father. So you can work with each other as spouses and not tear each other down. So many times he's come to me and he said, Jess, this isn't working. The way you're saying this to me, the way you're doing this, the way you want me to do this, that is not working with me. If you don't know Dan, he's the nicest, quietest man in the world. But I'm telling you, he's the most stubborn man I've ever met in my life. But it's so good, because I love how he can dig his heels in the ground and he can be that strong pillar for our family when we need it. See, you can go against your husband, or you can cheer him on. You can, some things can be changed, like, hey, can we start working on birthdays better? Can we start doing Mother's and Father's Day better? That was easy. But some things are not going to change. You know, they're not going to pick up their socks. You know, they're going to leave them strung across the house. And I'm not saying my husband does that, only my children. And I am training them to do that. You can train those things. But sometimes those things won't change, and you can choose to get bitter and angry about it, or you could choose to laugh about it as you're picking up the socks and go, you know what, I love the man. He's awesome. Thank you for giving me someone in my life that I just don't know how you chose us together, God, but you know how to keep me in this and to teach me, God, to pray for him for what he needs in his walk instead of criticizing him and beating him up over what he doesn't do. Girls, our mouths can kill or it can destroy or it can build up and bring life. You get out of your husbands what you pour into them. You get out what you pour in. And I'm telling you, they are not stupid to your facial expressions. So you go, well, I didn't say anything. Yeah, well, your face said everything. And then your tone. How many times have I, well, it's your tone. How many times do you say that to them? It's your tone. It's your tone. I know your tone. Listen, you have a tone too, okay? Let's not point fingers at each other and be judgy. Let's love. Let's choose to protect. Let's choose to guard. Let's choose to guide. If you want to believe for your husband, then believe for your husband. Listen, you girls need to be that faith pillar that builds your family up and doesn't judge them and criticize them. Number three. We need to give beyond ourselves. In Isaiah 58:10, it says, you must actively help the hungry and feed the oppressed. Then your light will be dispelled in the darkness, and darkness will transformed into the noonday. Give of yourself. You say, oh, gosh, you're asking a lot of me today. First you want me to stop talking, then you want me to not be criticizing, and now I got to go give everything away. Listen, everything that you've been given has been given to you by Jesus. Who are you to hold on to that good news and how awesome you are? Do you guys have hands? Yes. Do you have feet? Yes. Then you know what? Get out there and use your hands and feet for the kingdom of God. Yes. When you're walking in the store and you're crabby after a long day and you see that cashier, she's been there all day. She hasn't seen her family either. She doesn't know where her husband is. And you don't know if she ever gets time off to be in church. But you go and you're with that cashier every time. Have you ever noticed that? You always kind of get the same people in your world. You know, start talking to her. Hey, you know what? You always serve me. How are you today? Oh, I'm good. Sometimes I've had, oh, I'm bad. Really? And that's open door. You know, don't tell me you're bad. Because then, really, why? And the people behind me hate it because I'm all up in a conversation, you know, with these people. One time, I went through a Starbucks drive-thru, and they were like, could you pray for me? And so they leaned over their Starbucks drive-thru, and we're having, like, a prayer meeting, and there's, like, a line of cars behind me. And you know what, you guys? Be the light. Give love. Give mercy. You go, this person does not deserve my mercy. Well, then you know what? Give it anyways. Show them you are the pencil that is writing the love story of God on their hearts. And you girls need to be the person that God can say, yeah, Beth, I trust you because I know you're going to be in the right place at the right time, and I trust that you're not going to speak something dumb, but you're going to say something awesome. I'm asking you to give what it is I've given you. He's not asking you to give something you don't have. He's asking you to give something you have already received. And that's his love. That's his faithfulness, that's his mercy, that's his salvation. Who are we to keep that to ourselves and not go share it to the world, not to show the world the love of Christ? Listen, we are feeding the poor here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We are feeding the needy. We are feeding the hungry and the hurting. You go out in those lines, most of them don't want to step foot in church. But you know what? It doesn't matter. No strings attached. When you eat that food, know that that food was provided for you from the Rock Church and World Outreach Center because we love you. Because the tithes and offerings in this church, the people come and they give their hard-earned money to go and feed you and to take care of you. You guys do feed the poor. If you're tithers, you feed the poor at the Rock Church. Did you know that? You give of yourself for the betterment of someone else. We go out into the homeless ministry. We go into the highways and the byways and we help people. You girls are the hands and feet of that. We go into the convalescent ministry, 16 homes we go into. Where people have been forgotten, where nobody comes and visits them anymore, where they feel like there's nothing left in life. And we go in and we share the love of Jesus Christ with them. That is the part, that is the church you're involved in. Now you say, well, I am, but I don't really go. Well, go. Listen, go. Those are not closed ministries. This is time for you girls to figure out, where can I give of myself? Where? What can I do for someone else? What would I want someone to do for me if I was in that situation? You will find that there are tons of opportunities to help people in need and show the love of Jesus Christ. And you be his hands, and you be the feet. You go into the highways and the byways, and you feed the poor and the hurting. You give them a message of hope. You never know who you're coming across, and you are the mouthpiece for Jesus Christ, and your hands are anointed, and your mouth is anointed. So don't discredit who you are, because I believe God is asking us to dispel the darkness, one conversation at a time, one putting a bag together for people that need food at a time, one homeless person hears a bar of soap at a time. You see what I'm saying? It's bigger than what we're doing. We can always be kicked up a notch. So go home. Work it out with your families. Find out a way to do it. In Matthew 25:34, we used to have this written in our warehouse across the street, down the road when we were the Rock Church and World Outreach Center when we first started. We had painted this on one of our walls, and as soon as maintenance isn't crazy overloaded, I'm going to have them paint it again. And it says in Matthew 25:34, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ooh, I want that. I want that kingdom. I want it. It was prepared for me. It's mine, right? This is what he says. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king answered to them, I tell you the truth, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. We don't do this to gain brownie points with God, but because we love him. Because that is in our DNA. In our DNA is to love him. In our DNA is to fast and get closer with him, to pray like we never prayed before. In our DNA, it is in our DNA to give of ourselves, to do what it is he's asked us to do. Maybe you're in the store and God says, buy that extra grocery card for so-and-so. And you buy an extra grocery card and you give it to them and it'll help them with their groceries. Maybe you notice at school there's a kid that just doesn't have a good pair of shoes. And you find out, have your kids in on it. I've done this before. I'm like, hey guys, ask some questions about, you know, like, what do they like, or what size are their, you know, shoes, and have the kids get in on it. Find out how you can bless someone else. Give beyond yourself. Listen, you can never, ever outgive God. Never. You are generous. God will bring it back more into your lap. You go, I don't have a lot of money. Listen, if God's telling you to do it, you be in faith and do it. Because he will replenish that resource. He will take care of the finances for it. He will give you the best deals for your own families. He will take care of everything. If you step out in faith and you feed the hungry, if you're loving to the sick. Guys, we go to the prisons here at this church. I need your prayer. They just closed down CIW for us at Chino Women's Institute. They won't let us in. We need to pray to get our butts back in there because they have these new rules and new people over it. Listen, the enemy is doing everything he can do to keep us out. But what we need to do is we need to pray and believe God to begin to open doors, birth things in your hearts. Listen, there are ministries that are going to be birthed out of you. And I believe that God has powerful and amazing blessings for us. But we cannot do it until we get ourselves in alignment with God, and he's asking us to kick our lives up a notch. I have a video for you, and then we'll close. Will you go ahead and show this video? Turn down the lights.
Blessed are those who give without interest, who offer themselves and expect nothing in return. small sacrifices, where the thankless work is done. Sacred are the acts of true adoration, for they reveal the heart of the divine. Envy not the givers in the crowd, earning praise for their generous deeds, for they have received their reward. But for those who give in secret, more shall be given unto them. They shall be called blessed, true saints. The restorers of streets to dwell in, and life shall be forever theirs.
Amen. Let's give beyond ourselves, girls. So, today we learned to zip our lip, yeah? And we learned to not be criticizing and judge people, but bring them into life and encourage and be a blessing. And we also learned to give beyond ourselves today. And so if you got something from God, let's give him a hand and thank him. Lord, we love you. God, we want to be your girls, anointed for your purpose. And Lord, we pray that everything that we learned today, Lord, that you would begin to utilize it in our lives and put it in our hands and do an awesome work through us. In Jesus' mighty name.